Well, it's 3:15 at News 92 FM. It's Friday. It's time to go to the movies. Paul Preston, he's our movie guy. And there is a movie that opened today that I'm very excited about, of course, because I have a six-year-old, and Paul was at their premiere.
Whoa! This is amazing! What are those?
Those are trees. They used to grow all around here. What I want more than anything is to see a real living tree.
It's The Lorax, Paul.
Hey,
how
Paul,
are you doing?
I don't have a six-year-old, Paul, but sometimes I act like a six-year-old.
Well, then, hey, this might be for you.
All right, good.
A tale of a couple of kids who've never seen a tree before. The movie must take place in Manhattan, I suppose.
A tree grows in Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But no Jim Carrey this time, no Steve Carell. It's a very softer, Zac Efronier, Taylor Swiftier version of a Sue story. And the kids are off to find the long-lost forest to meet the guardians of the now extinct land known as the forest. So this, I don't know, you may have noticed, across the country has brewed up some political storm, as people were saying that the movie is indoctrinating our children with showing the negative effects of industrialization on the environment. But I always get the movies back in an argument like that, because you can stop a kid from learning about, you know, the threat of knowledge of catastrophic droughts and floods and tornadoes and hurricanes, if you know, but even keep them from going to the movie theaters. But they can always look out the window and see those things. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
But this movie looks like a lot of fun. The Lorax, he's orange, irritated, snarky, looks to be about 2 feet tall. So
like Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Boom, there you go. The guy can't even get animated taller, sadly. But there's a movie out now called Being Flynn as well, about a troubled homeless genius writer who's trying to reconnect with his son, and it just makes me feel bad for all the authors out there toiling away on their masterpiece when Dr. Seuss really couldn't make up a rhyme. He just made up a word. So that just seems so much easier.
Yeah, took the easy way out.
Yeah.
All right,
like a lot of fun, though.
For the grown-ups.
Really, crazy, bright-colored, animated. So, yeah, kids will love it. Or if you're an adult six-year-old, too, I think.
That's right. So for the grown-ups and for the guys in particular, we have this coming up.
Good God, I'm on Mars.
Mars.
Our world is at war.
At war.
And Earth is next. Will you stay and fight for us?
No.
So, Paul, should we fight to watch this movie?
Well, you know, will the women come out to see a movie called John Carter? I think the character in the movie, A Princess of Mars, which this film is based on, was known as John Carter of Mars, which would lure in all the sci-fi guys. Well, I think they lopped off the end of that title thinking, you know, maybe the John Carter, what is that? Is it a movie where Denzel Washington teaches a young kid to read? Maybe I'll go to that. You know? Next thing you know, they're involved in this plot. And Bonnie, tell me if this plot would get you out of the house. On Mars, John Carter meets up with green Martians known as the Tharks.
She's there.
Tars Tarkas and his daughter Sola. Then Carter gets involved in a war of humanish clans between the cities of Helium and Zodanga.
Oh, wow.
Excited?
Yeah, right up my alley.
That being said, people got behind Na'vi and Pandora, and Avatar was a huge hit. But a March release for this might be a sign of low confidence from Disney. The movie probably should have come out in the summer. Because it gets bogged down in plot. A lot of it gets a little overcrowded. There's a lot to learn while you're trying to enjoy. You got space politics, religion, sci-fi, a lot of that. But then right when that's happening, boom, there's a huge action sequence that is of the highest caliber. This is from director Andrew Stanton, who made WALL-E and Finding Nemo with Pixar. He knows his way around the computer, and the CGI effects are amazing. And there are three sequences worth the price of admission. A big gladiator-esque sequence between Carter, Tars Tarkas, and two giant white apes. And then a stroke of genius intercutting scene between John Carter fighting on Mars and flashbacks to his backstory as a Civil War soldier and the moments that made him kind of the complex man that he is now before he got whisked away to Mars. And thankfully, the last sequence that is great in this movie is the ending. You want to go out big, and the movie has a fantastic ending that very satisfyingly ties back to the beginning when the plot was a little sluggish.
Right.
And so it makes all the bookending parts of the movie better. So overall, yeah, worth checking out.
All right. Well, I hate it when you get whisked right off to Mars and get involved in space politics and all that stuff. But, you know, we'll check it out. Thank you so much, Paul. That's Paul Preston. He's our movie guy at themovieguys.net.
It is 3:19.